Blog Talk Radio.
This is XXBN Raleigh Durham. Welcome to the Brenneman Airplane Friday edition. Once again, XXBN is covering Hurricane Ike, which is very rapidly closing in on the Texas coastline. Joining me now from Crown Weather Services in Presque Isle is Crown Weather Services forecaster Rob Lightbound. And good afternoon, Rob. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, Jill. Boy, don't we have a lot to talk about this afternoon. Conditions are actually starting to go downhill in a hurry across the Texas coast. I know probably some of the listeners have been watching the scenes from Galveston, Texas, the water coming in. I hate to say it, but that's only the beginning of what's going to come in the next 12 to 15 hours. As of 11 o'clock this morning, Ike was positioned at 27.2 north, 92.6 west. Ike is still 195 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. Ike is expected to continue tracking somewhere between a west-northwest and northwest heading right through landfall. Landfall looks to be right around 3 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Central time, early Saturday morning. All indications are Ike will track either right over or very close to Galveston, and then track right up the west side of Galveston Bay, and then pretty much right over Houston. I still think Ike will come ashore as a Category 3 hurricane with winds somewhere in the neighborhood of 115 to 125 miles an hour. The reason why I'm still going with a Cat 3 is that some of the reports from reconnaissance aircraft are indicating 130-mile-an-hour winds at just 700 feet off the ground level, off the surface of the ground, and 145-mile-per-hour winds at an elevation of 1,500 feet. Flight level winds are running at 130 miles an hour, and that would translate to a 110 to 115 mile per hour hurricane at the surface. So based on that, I still think Ike will come ashore as a Cat 3 hurricane. Now, the Hurricane Research Division, which is part of the part of the National Hurricane Center, has rated Ike with a destructive potential rating on a scale of 0 to 6 for storm surge damage of a 5.4. That's on a scale of 0 to 6, 0 being the least destructive and a 6 being the most destructive. It's rating Ike with a surge potential of a 5.4 destructive potential rating. Storm surge forecast. Water levels are expected to rise very rapidly this afternoon through tonight and into the early morning hours of Saturday morning as the storm surge spreads onto the coast and bayshore areas. I have some forecast maximum storm surge figures here. first for the Texas coast. For Gulf-facing coastline areas west of Sargent, including Matagorda Bay, a maximum storm surge of 4 to 9 feet is forecast. For Gulf-facing coastline areas from Sargent to San Luis Pass, including Freeport, a 12 to 15 foot maximum storm surge is forecast. For Gulf-facing coastline areas from San Luis Pass to Sabine Pass, including Galveston Island and High Island, a 15 to 21 foot storm surge is forecast. For the shoreline of Galveston Bay, a storm surge of at least 15 to 25 feet is forecast, and it could actually be higher than that. Now, for the coast of Louisiana, for coastal Cameron Parish, a 15 to 18 foot maximum storm surge is forecast. For coastal Vermilion, Iberia, and St. Mary Parishes, a 12 to 15 foot storm surge is forecast. For coastal Terrebonne Parish, a 9 to 12 foot maximum storm surge is forecast. For coastal southeast Louisiana, including New Orleans, a 4 to 9 foot maximum storm surge is forecast. For the Mississippi coast, a 4 to 8 foot storm surge is forecast. And for the Alabama and Florida panhandle, a 3 to 6 foot storm surge is forecast. I also wanted to note that NOAA's experimental storm surge forecast is calling for a 10% chance that the storm surge from Ike will reach 30 feet on the south and east sides of Houston. The situation for Port Arthur in Texas, which is on the Louisiana border, is quite grim. The expected storm surge of 15 to 20 feet will overtop the city's seawall by 6 feet, resulting in flooding of the city and a number of major oil refineries. Life-threatening storm surge flooding is likely. All neighborhoods and possibly entire coastal communities will be severely flooded during the peak storm surge. Persons not heeding evacuation orders risk loss of life due to storm surge flooding. I will repeat that. People not heeding evacuation orders risk losing their life due to storm surge flooding. This is not a joke. Now let me go to the wind forecast for Ike. It is imperative that people who live in mobile homes or poorly built structures should evacuate immediately, like within the next hour or two, to a safer location, such as a well-built home. Persons who live in high-rise structures should also consider strongly evacuating immediately within the next couple of hours, as winds can be much stronger by as much as 20 to 30 miles per hour higher at the top of high-rise buildings than at ground level. The wind field surrounding Ike is very large in size. Tropical storm force winds in excess of 40 miles per hour are now crossing Texas coast. It will continue spreading inland, reaching the Houston metro area within the next couple of hours. Winds of at least tropical storm force are expected to last for up to 24 to 30 hours straight. Hurricane force winds will reach the Texas coast early this evening and then spread inland, reaching the Houston metro area between 9 and 11 p.m. tonight. Hurricane force winds will then last for up to 12 hours straight. Peak wind gusts 100 to 115 miles per hour is forecast across Harris, Liberty, Brazoria, Galveston, and Chambers counties. Wind speeds in excess of 115 miles an hour is possible near where the center of the storm ultimately makes landfall. As for the Houston metro area, winds and damage in Houston will be slightly greater than what was experienced during Hurricane Alicia of 1983. Alicia had higher winds at landfall, but was a smaller storm that weakened relatively quickly as it tracked inland. Ike's damage will cover a much wider area and spread much further inland due to the large size of the storm. For reference, during Alicia, Houston Hobby Airport on the south side of the city recorded top winds of 89 miles an hour, gusting to 99 miles per hour. The strongest winds recorded at Houston International Airport on the north side of the city were 51 miles an hour, gusting to 78 miles an hour. Winds from Ike will probably be sustained at 85 to 90 miles per hour at Houston Hobby Airport and 75 to 80 miles an hour at Houston International Airport. Now, let me cover inland flooding due to heavy rainfall. Widespread rainfall amounts of 5 to 7 inches with isolated rainfall totals up to 10 to 12 inches is possible this afternoon through Saturday along the track of Ike as it tracks inland. Significant river and stream flooding is possible in areas of heaviest rainfall. Now for the tornado threat. The threat for tornadoes will increase rapidly, beginning late today and continuing through late Saturday as Ike moves ashore and then tracks inland. If a tornado warning is issued for your location, you should plan to seek shelter in an interior room on the lowest floor away from windows. This is a very large hurricane in overall size. Tropical storm force winds extend outward up to 275 miles from the center of the storm, and hurricane force winds extend outward up to 120 miles from the center of the storm. Ike's very strong winds, heavy rainfall, and the threat for tornadoes will extend well inland due to the hurricane's accelerating speed at landfall. Damaging hurricane force winds are possible as far inland as 100 to 150 miles from the coast, roughly along and east of I-45. Cities like Huntsville and Livingston to the north of Galveston will see hurricane force winds. Tropical storm force winds will likely extend inland to Dallas, Tyler, Shreveport, and quite possibly into southeastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas. It is very possible that Ike could cause widespread power outages over a 200-mile wide swath in eastern Texas and extreme western Louisiana, and extending up to 300 miles inland to I-20. As for the city of Dallas, Dallas may end up on the fringe of a region of widespread power outages and may not suffer major power outages, but may still suffer isolated to scattered power outages as Ike tracks to the east of the city on Saturday. In conclusion, this is a very dangerous hurricane. Ike is forecast to make landfall as a Category 3 hurricane very near Galveston around 3 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 a.m. Central Time, early Saturday morning. A large and destructive storm surge of at least up to 25 feet will cross the middle and upper coast. Failure to leave within the next couple of hours and deciding to stay in a storm surge prone area could cost your life. That is the latest as of the midday hour from here at the Groundwater Services Forecast Desk.
Joining me on XXBN is forecaster Rob Lightbaum from Crown Weather Services in Prescott, Maine. We would love to have you join in. You can join us at 646-200-3136. Once again, that's 646-200-3136. You can also go to our chat room at xxbn.net and ask your questions or get your thoughts or observations in through the chat room. You can also go to xxbn and xxbn.net and click the talk button, and you can join us that way. Or finally, you can email at xxbnradio@gmail.com.
Jill, I want to see if our listeners can confirm a report that I heard a couple of hours ago from the Weather Channel. They're reporting that up to 30,000 people decided not to leave Galveston, and that equates to roughly 50% of the population of the island. I haven't heard any confirmation on that, so I can't quite confirm that. I've looked around, but there hasn't been any confirmation of that. If that is true, needless to say, that's a very, very scary statistic, to say the least.
CNN is reporting a U.S. military official has told CNN that Texas anticipates 37,000 may need to be rescued. I'm not sure if that is specific to Galveston or whether they're talking more about Texas as a whole. Certainly it's an astronomical number, and it's quite a testament, I think, to the storm perhaps being underrated or not taken seriously.
I know there's a lot of hard-headed people in Galveston that for some reason don't want to leave. And I was hoping some of the storm surge forecasts that were being put out in this morning's pictures of the flooding that's already occurring in Galveston might make people change their minds. But that statistic that I heard earlier, like I think it was a couple of hours ago, just blew me away. So I haven't been able to get a confirmation on that, on whether that statistic is true. And like I said, if it's true, that's a very, very grim statistic, to say the least.
I'm looking at a statement from Galveston spokeswoman Mary Jo Naschke. She estimated Friday morning that just over half of the city's 58,000 people had been evacuated. A quote from an eye reporter in Galveston is that he believes, or I'll just read the quote directly. Eye reporter Matthew Urchell on Galveston Island states, in quotes, We have a lot of faith in the seawall, and we have boards on the windows. Most people on the island live on the second or third stories, so they don't have to worry about the water so much. And that is a direct quote from an on-the-spot eye reporter in Galveston. I guess, Rob, the question that kind of crosses my mind, you know, I'm thinking of what if a storm surge, you know, hit the apartment complex that I live in, which, of course, it wouldn't. This is hypothetical. I mean, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. But just thinking about it, would it really matter if I live on the second floor if you know, essentially an enormous tide has rolled in and undercut the bottom of the building?
Let me tell you a little story. The Richelieu Apartments on the Mississippi coast, 1969 Hurricane Camille. People decided to have a hurricane party. They didn't take Camille seriously. It literally washed the building away. All that was left was the foundation. I believe I heard that out of the whole party, one or two people survived. Everybody else drowned. And it was just by the faith of God that those one or two people survived. They survived by holding on to what they could, trees, what was left of buildings, debris that was floating by. But they were being pounded by the wind, the rain, and debris that was flying by, that was both flying by and floating by. And Camille, and having a, I think, 25 or 26 foot storm surge. And this was an apartment complex that was two or three stories high. And the storm surge basically just washed the building away, and all that was left the next morning was just the concrete foundation. So I think people underestimate the power of water, especially moving water. It takes less than, I believe, 6 inches of moving water to basically wash away a vehicle. If you, let's say, try to cross a 6-inch stream or a 6-inch area of rapidly moving water in your vehicle, you could be swept away. The water is that strong, that powerful, and I think people, for some weird reason, take wind potential more seriously than surge potential. And I'll be honest, I'd rather deal with wind potential rather than surge potential, because you can do more with wind potential. You can shelter within, hide in an interior room if things get too bad, but if you stay on the coast with surge potential and your house starts washing away, where do you go?
You know, and I think one of the thought processes that you know, I kind of picture stubborn people that I've had conversations with about this kind of thing. And you know, their thought is, well, even if a worst case happens and I have to be rescued, you know, that's the rescuer's job. But you're not going to get rescued in the middle of a storm.
Well, here's another report that came out, and this is sad, and I am praying for these people offshore. A freighter with 22 people on board is stranded 90 miles southeast of Galveston. Apparently their engine one could put, and they're out there floating, and the Coast Guard won't be able to get out there because of the conditions out there already. There's no way for them to get out there, either by boat or by helicopter, because the winds are picking up so much, it would be hazardous to try to attempt a rescue. And it would be, even if they could get out there, it would be almost impossible for them to try to rescue people and try to get them up in those baskets onto the helicopters because of the seas, which are running at 40 to 50 feet. So, I don't know. I am really praying for those people offshore on what's going to happen when the eyewall of Ike tracks right over them this evening.
Okay, very briefly, I will give the latest information on the airports. Impact on the airports, both George Bush Houston Intercontinental and William P. Hobby Houston airports officially halt flights today beginning at noon, and that would be noon Central Time. So I'm assuming the last plane are probably putting back now. With Hurricane Ike headed towards the Texas coastline, the following airlines have reported that they are ceasing flights at least through Saturday: American Airlines, JetBlue, Southwest, and Continental. Both Houston Hobby and Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport will close down all operations at 2 p.m. local time, which does not mean that you can go there until 2 o'clock and catch a flight. The flights are done as of noon, and then these times are all Central Time. Neither airport has stated when flights may resume. American Airlines is hoping to resume some of its local operations by Sunday morning. Also impacted are flights out of DFW, that's Dallas-Fort Worth International, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Austin. Other airlines affected are Delta Airlines, AirTran, United Airlines, and U.S. Airways. So if you're hoping to fly out, you better look at some different alternatives. That option is passed. The Houston Texans-Baltimore Ravens game, scheduled for 4:15 on Sunday, has been moved to 8:30 on Monday night. Those times are Eastern. Houston Astros-Chicago Cubs, first two games of the weekend series postponed. Makeup dates have not been set by Major League Baseball. College football, Arkansas versus Texas, postponed till September 27th. Washington State Baylor moved from Saturday to today at 5:30, which would be 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Stanford at Texas Christian, kickoff Saturday in Fort Worth, has been moved to 10 a.m., and it's not clear what time zone that's in. Air Force versus Houston has moved the game from Houston to Dallas. It will go at 3:30 Saturday. Sam Houston State, Prairie View A&M have canceled the game. Hardin-Simmons versus Linfield has moved from 7 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. And the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association team, the Houston Comets and the Sacramento Monarchs, has been postponed. So clearly a lot going on. Caller from 978, you are on XXBN with Rob Lightbound.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you, caller.
Okay, great. Look, I've watched hurricanes for many years. I'm not you know, a hurricane aficionado, but I also used to fly tail-dragging airplanes. And on an airplane, when the propeller rotates, it's a gyro, essentially. And when you raise the tail wheel, you drop the propeller, creating what's called a P factor. Now, a hurricane is similar to a gyro, and I'm wondering, when a hurricane meets land, is there a P factor involved?
Meaning, does it speed up?
No, not speed up, but make a turn. When you fly a tail-dragging airplane, when the tail raises, the gyro drops, and the immediate effect is a pull to the right. So you have to compensate for it with rudder. Now, the hurricane is essentially a gyro, and if you apply a pressure to it, they always seem to turn to the right when they hit land. I'm wondering if you calculate a P factor based on the wind speed.
There are times that when the hurricane approaches the coast, like the way the Texas coast is oriented, and even the Carolina coast is oriented, they can turn to the right. The only exception to that is if they're moving at a pretty good clip for forward speed, then that turn to the right isn't as effective. A couple of examples I can give would be Hannah from last week, is how it started turning to the right and moved inland. It was moving at a fairly slow to moderate speed. But another example of that, of a storm that didn't turn to the right, would be Hurricane Hugo, which bore head-on into South Carolina. So I think there's more than a P factor involved. I think also you have to look at the upper level environment, whether Ike might turn a little bit to the right as it tracks inland. It's possible, but I think even if it does, it's going to be close enough so that it'll track literally over Galveston Bay and right up the ship channel. At this point, I don't foresee it turning enough to the right to come ashore as far north as Sabine Pass. I think it's going to be close enough so that a major storm surge will track right up the ship channel in Galveston Bay.
Yeah, well, I, you know, based on my experience as an aviator, I think that the higher velocity of the gyro, the more radical the turn, and that's why I asked about, you know, calculating the P factor based on wind speeds. You know, if it's a Category 5, it's gonna. I think, based on that principle, that it would take more of a right turn. And of course, I understand you have to consider upper level air patterns and so forth, but that's why I'm asking the question. I don't know, and I can only guess.
Right. Yeah. But, like I said, it varies from storm to storm as it tracks inland, as it tracks near the coast, both in terms of tending to turn to the right, and also as it gets closer to the coast, sometimes they can tighten up and intensify as they're moving on shore, as that area of energy is almost compressed as it moves that that area of energy isn't so expanded. It tries to tighten up as it moves ashore. And I'm almost wondering if this will happen this evening with Ike, whether it'll try to tighten up some more and head on another 5 or 10 miles an hour to the maximum wind speed. It is possible. It's possible that both could occur where it'll turn a little bit to the right as it comes ashore and also tighten up and intensify a little bit as it comes within an hour or two of landfall.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, no problem.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, caller. If you would like to join in, we still have plenty of time for questions. 646-200-3136. You can also go to the XXBN chat room at xxbn.net and send in questions via chat. We can press the click to talk button at xxbn.net, or you can email us at xxbnradio@gmail.com. Rob, is there any possibility, do you see a possibility where this storm could lose power, where Texas could perhaps become, you know, get off the hook somehow? Is there any chance that that scenario could take place?
In terms of surge potential, no. I think we're still going to look at a very significant and very damaging storm surge along the Texas coast. Whether it de-intensifies, whether it weakens, looking at satellite imagery late this morning and right now, it looks like it's still trying to improve. At one point over the last couple of hours, it looked like it was trying to close off a little bit of an eye, and it may still be doing so. I just noticed that reconnaissance aircraft found a flight level wind equivalent to a 110 mile per hour surface wind. So I think at the very least it'll stay at category 2. I don't foresee it weakening to a cat 1 before landfall. And worst case scenario would be for it to intensify in the next 12 to 15 hours to a category 3 hurricane.
You're listening to XXBN's coverage of Hurricane Ike. My name is Jill Brenneman. With me, Crown Weather Service's forecaster Rob Lightbaum from crownweather.com. Rob, for those just joining us, if you could kind of paraphrase what's happening with Ike and what's potentially going to happen with Texas.
Roughly 195 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. It is forecast to come ashore either right over Galveston or very close to Galveston and track roughly right up the west side of Galveston Bay and then right over Houston. Landfall time right now looks to be right around 3 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Central time. Early Saturday morning. In my eyes, I think it will come ashore as a Category 3 hurricane. Storm surge, it's going to be pretty devastating, to say the least, when it comes ashore. We're looking at storm surge, maximum storm surge forecasts ranging from 12 to 15 feet in the Freeport area to 15 to 21 feet in Galveston Island, High Island, Sabine Pass, to 15 to 25 feet and possibly higher than that in Galveston Bay. In Louisiana, storm surge, maximum storm surge forecasts are going to range from 4 to 9 feet in the New Orleans area, to 9 to 12 feet in Terrebonne Parish, to up to 15 to 18 feet in Cameron Parish. Along the Mississippi coast, a 4 to 8 foot storm surge is forecast, and along the Alabama and Florida panhandle, a 3 to 6 foot storm surge is forecast. A life-threatening storm surge is likely along the Texas coast, especially where Ike comes ashore. If you are in an evacuation area and have not evacuated, you need to evacuate within the next couple of hours. Failure to evacuate could cost you your life. This is not a joke by any means. The storm surge is already overwashing parts of Galveston. If you think about staying, you may want to tune into some of the local stations out of Houston showing the storm surge already encroaching upon Galveston. In terms of wind potential, hurricane tropical storm force winds are now crossing the Texas coast and will continue spreading inland, reaching the Houston metro area within the next couple of hours. Hurricane force winds will reach the Texas coast this evening and then spread inland, reaching the Houston metro area between 9 and 11 p.m. tonight. Hurricane force winds are expected to last up 12 hours straight. Tropical storm force winds are expected to last for up to 24 to 30 hours straight. Peak wind gusts of 100 to 115 miles an hour are forecast across Harris, Liberty, Brazoria, Galveston, and Chambers counties. Wind speeds in excess of 115 miles an hour will be possible near where the center of the storm ultimately comes ashore. In the Houston metro area, the wind damage in Houston may be slightly greater than what was experienced during Hurricane Alicia. It is possible that the winds from Ike will be sustained at 85 to 90 miles per hour at Houston Hobby, which is located on the south side of the city, and sustained at 75 to 80 miles an hour at Houston International Airport, located on the north side of the city. As for inland flooding, widespread rainfall amounts of 5 to 7 inches with rainfall totals of 10 to 12 inches in isolated areas will be possible through Saturday along the path of Ike. Significant river and stream flooding is possible in areas of heaviest rainfall. In terms of a tornado threat, the threat of tornadoes will increase rapidly beginning late today and continuing through late Saturday as Ike moves onshore. In conclusion, needless to say, this is a very dangerous hurricane. A Category 3 hurricane is forecast to make landfall very near Galveston late tonight and early Saturday morning, roughly around 3 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Central Time. A large and destructive storm surge of up to 25 feet will cross the middle and upper Texas coast. If you are in an evacuation area and fail to evacuate, you risk losing your life from the storm surge. I repeat, you risk losing your life due to storm surge if you fail to evacuate. Damaging hurricane force winds are possible as far inland as 150 miles from the coast, and a widespread power outages over an area 200 miles wide in eastern Texas and extreme western Louisiana, and extending up to 300 miles inland to Interstate 20 is likely. So that is the latest as of right now for Hurricane Ike from Groundwater Services.
Rob, yeah, I'm looking at the various webcams at in Galveston, and it's really quite astonishing. This far out, I'm seeing water from, I'm assuming, the Gulf of Mexico, that's virtually going over the. I'm not really sure what it would be called, but whether it's a seawall or whether. The waves of the water are literally coming over on what would be the sidewalk area for the beaches.
Yep. Yeah, we're still roughly 15 hours away from the time of landfall. And those conditions are only going to get worse and worse as the afternoon and evening progress. I just need to see what it's gonna be like late tonight as Ike comes ashore. And in fact, Ike is expected to come ashore right around the time of high tide late tonight, and only make matters worse this weekend is the full moon, so you're going to also have the lunar effect of the tides contributing to the height of the water. So with everything put together, it's a very grim and very bad situation for Galveston, for areas on the mid and upper Texas coast, and even areas into southwestern Louisiana. I read a report earlier from Cameron, Louisiana, that there was 4 feet of water in the street in front of the courthouse in Cameron, and it looked like that most of the town of Cameron was probably underwater. And again, we're looking at landfall still 15 hours away. The storm surge is going to be equivalent to roughly a Category 4 hurricane. And the damage potential is going to be extremely high. As I read earlier, the Hurricane Research Division, which is a part of the National Hurricane Center, is rating the destructive potential rating on a scale of 0 to 6. They're rating the surge potential rating of a 5.4 on a scale of 0 to 6. 0 being on the low end and 6 being as high as you can go. And it's pretty damn close to a 6 for a rating of a 5.4. I just don't know what other words to use to describe what kind of potential we're looking at, what kind of destruction we could be looking at when we all wake up tomorrow morning and see the news with the light of day tomorrow morning.
Rob, a listener in the chat room has brought the comparison to the Boston Blizzard of 78, which paralyzed Boston for a significant amount of time. And the listener is maybe the allegory that it struck Massachusetts on a full moon and a high tide, and that it required the 82nd Airborne to come in and clear the streets and restore essential services. And while obviously snow is not any type of issue in this storm, but in terms having lived for a short time in New England, I remember that storm kind of being the benchmark of all storms there. It was the Blizzard 78. Does Ike have the same potential to be, you know, a historical storm?
I think we are all watching history in the making. A Category 2 hurricane causing Category 4, or I would even venture borderline Category 4, Category 5 type storm surges. I mean, when we're talking about a 25-foot storm surge, potentially, if you look on the Saffir-Simpson scale, that would equate to a Category 5 hurricane if you just based it on just the surge. Even though the wind potential will be 100 to 115 miles an hour, I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at, but I think the main story here is going to be the surge potential. And I think I'm not a psychologist, but I think the psychology of it is that people aren't taking it seriously because when they see it on the TV as a Category 2 hurricane with 100 to 105 mile an hour winds, which would make it a mid-range Cat 2, they may be saying to themselves, well, it's not that bad, even though the surge potential has, 25 feet. I mean, we're talking a surge plus, not only that, you're looking at wave heights of 12, 15 feet on top of that potential 20, 25-foot storm surge up Galveston Bay. So in all, if you added surge height to wave height, 35, 37 feet, that would be rooftop level for a two- or three-story home with an attic. That's Category 5 type surge right there. Upper Category 4 to Category 5 type storm surge. So I think there's going to be areas on the coast that will be unlivable for months, I dare say. And I think if those statistics that are coming out of Galveston are correct, and that seawall does not hold, we're going to have a loss of life in Galveston. And I pray that that seawall does hold. I really do. Because I don't want to see those images that we saw during Katrina ever again. They haunt me to this day, and they may always haunt me. Some of those images of downtown New Orleans and from the Mississippi coast of places like Biloxi and Gulfport literally being washed away by the storm surge, and people having to get up into their attics and climbing up and having to chop their way out of their attics onto the roof because the surge was coming up around them. I'm almost really scared what's going to happen along the coast.
This is XXBN's coverage of Hurricane Ike. With me, Crown Weather Service's forecaster, Rob Lightbound. My name is Jill Brenneman. There is still some time, short time left, if you would like to get questions or thoughts in, 646-200-3136, 646-200-3136. I guess the question that so many of us would have, Rob, Katrina is the storm that we all remember. It was recent. It was just, kind of a jaw-dropping amount of devastation. How does Ike compare to Katrina in terms of size, intensity, and the potential for impact?
I think in terms of surge damage, if you look at the Mississippi coast, where there was a 20, don't quote me on this, 28-foot storm surge, something like that. I think the storm surge with Ike will come very close to that type of storm surge. I think 20 feet is likely, 25 feet, also quite possible. And like I mentioned, there's experimental storm surge maps out there that are indicating a 10% chance for a 30-foot storm surge at the head of Galveston Bay. And if that came true and we ended up with a 30-foot storm surge, that would exceed Katrina's surge. In comparison to Katrina, I think Ike, in terms of surge potential, compares very well. I think it matches Katrina head on to what we saw in terms of surge. And even though Ike is only a Category 2, the surge potential will probably come close to, if not match, Katrina's surge around Galveston Bay. If Ike does track on the west side of Galveston Bay and push the surge right up Galveston Bay, because that water, as it goes up the bay, it has less area to move, so it's just going to rise more and more as it travels through the bay. So when it reaches the north end of the bay or the head of the bay, it will reach maximum height. So a 20-foot storm surge at around Galveston will only rise even higher as it moves through Galveston Bay. So that at the end of the bay, 25 feet, it's not out of the question, if not higher.
Now, for those in the listening audience, I've placed a link in the XXBN chat room. This is from the National Hurricane Center, and it's simulations of storm surge in various beaches. And I think the most astonishing one is the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel it just kind of really puts into perspective what a storm surge is. Looking at a picture from the simulation of a Category 2, and clearly Ike is much more significant than that. A Category 2 nearly fills the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. It's very close to the top of the tunnel. I can think from having been to Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, many times, where there are markers on the telephone poles near entrances to the beach, which show the height of what a 17-foot storm surge would be. And it's astonishing. I mean, it's just so far over your head. It's
to put it in another perspective, what storm surge can do for up here in New England, our benchmark for southern New England, Long Island, would be the infamous 1938 hurricane, which tracked, came ashore September 21st, 1938, traveling at a forward speed of somewhere between 60 and 70 miles an hour. That's why they dubbed it the Long Island Express. In fact, there were seismographs that actually recorded the actual tremor from the storm surge hitting the south side of Long Island as 38 hurricane made landfall. The storm surge moved up Narragansett Bay, which is Narragansett and Buzzards Bay, which, if listeners don't know the geography of New England, it's that area in Rhode Island and southeast of Massachusetts, right where Providence is. Well, it moved right up Narragansett Bay, right up to the head of the bay. Providence, Rhode Island, is located at the head of Narragansett Bay. They were flooded by 14 feet of water. It put the entire city underwater. Nowadays, Providence is protected by a floodgate, which they close. That floodgate has been tested a couple of times. The last major time it was tested was during Hurricane Bob, and it held up really well. But just to give an example of what storm surge can do as it moves up a bay, the 38 hurricane is a good example of what storm surge can do. That floodgate was installed in Providence after Hurricane Carol in 1954, because Carol ended up doing the same thing to Providence, putting the city underwater as Carol made landfall as a Category 3 hurricane. It put the city, I think, under 10 or 12 feet of water, if I remember right.
This is XXVN coverage of Hurricane Ike. A listener has emailed this into xxvnradio.com. State Highway 124 in Texas, on the way from Baytown to Winnie, on the way to High Island, that road is no longer passable as the water is literally over the highway. The person that has sent this has indicated that they saw a number of animals actually moving away from the water itself, which I guess one doesn't really think about that, but I guess that would transpire too. So if you're considering heading to do some storm chasing and going towards the coast. We're getting email from people who've tried it, and they are emphatically saying, do not try it. Which, Rob, I would assume that you would agree with that, that this is not the storm to go storm chasing and to try to head to the coast.
Absolutely not. I know from Katrina chasers that tried to chase Katrina on the Mississippi coast in Biloxi and Gulfport. A couple of them came pretty damn close to losing their lives because of the storm surge. Because they miscalculated how high the water actually would get. I guess the most famous example would be the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore. He came pretty close to being flooded out himself in one of the hotels in Biloxi. And it almost made it to the top floors of the hotel, Biloxi, when Biloxi and Gulfport, when Katrina came through. And if you're going to chase this hurricane, don't do it along the coast. If you're hell-bent on chasing it and wanting to catch what hurricane-force winds are like and everything, don't do it near the coast. Do it a few miles inland. Because once your escape route is cut off from the mainland, there's no telling how high that water can go. And if you can't find a safe spot, you and your vehicle may be washed out into the Gulf of Mexico by the storm surge.
This is XXBN Raleigh Durham, XXBNRadio.com, Fargo, North Dakota. Rob, we've run a little bit over. I'm wondering if you're able to paraphrase one last time for those just joining us.
Sure. Let me see what I can do here. Ike, as of early this afternoon, is located roughly 195 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. It's forecast to come ashore as a Category 3 hurricane right over or very near Galveston during the pre-dawn hours, probably right around 2 a.m. Central Time, early Saturday morning. A destructive storm surge with maximum potential of 20 to 25 feet is possible in an area around Galveston Island, High Island, and that storm surge could be even higher, in excess of 25 feet in Galveston Bay. Wind potential, we're looking at hurricane force winds reaching the Texas coast by this evening, and then reaching the Houston metro area between 9 and 11 p.m. tonight. Winds in excess of 115 miles an hour are possible near where the center of Ike makes landfall. Even in Houston metro, winds of 85 to 90 miles an hour are possible at Houston Hobby Airport and 75 to 80 miles an hour at Houston International Airport. In addition, there's a tornado threat beginning late today and continuing through late Saturday across southeast Texas, much of western and southern Louisiana, and then extending northward along the path of Ike. As Ike moves inland, widespread power outages are likely over a 200-mile area, wide area, in eastern Texas and extreme western Louisiana, and then extending 300 miles inland to as far as I-20. In conclusion, this is a very dangerous hurricane. A Category 3 hurricane is forecast to make landfall very near Galveston around 3 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Central Time, early Saturday morning. A large and destructive storm surge of up to 25 feet will cross the middle and upper Texas coast. If you are in an evacuation area and fail to evacuate, you risk losing your life. I'll repeat that. If you fail to evacuate and you are in an evacuation area, you may be swept away by the storm surge and you may lose your life. So please, please, please evacuate over the next couple of hours while you have a chance. And that is the latest from here at Ground Weather Services as of early this afternoon.
Rob, CNN is reporting that gas prices have gone up 20 cents a gallon in the last day and a half or so. So I guess if there's any positives to this, if you are a rich, greedy oil man, your stations apparently have raised prices 20 cents or so a gallon, so you will still make your profits.
Yep. And I heard one report that in the next couple of weeks, gas prices will probably well exceed $4 a gallon, if not approach $5 a gallon. And that's from one of the news stations in Houston. They were interviewing an energy analyst, and that's pretty much what they stated in their opinion.
Hey, Rob, and I hope I don't throw you off with this question, but in terms of the oil rigs in the Gulf, what kind of threat does this pose to the oil rigs and the platforms out in the Gulf?
I know a lot of them are now shut down because of Ike. How heavily damaged they'll be, it's hard to tell because a lot of them were shored up and made stronger after the 2004 hurricane season, after Hurricane Ivan, because Ivan did a lot of damage to a lot of the oil platforms out in the Gulf of Mexico because of the very high seas. I think they were in excess of 100 feet with Ivan. Since then, a lot of those oil platforms have been shored up so that they could withstand really high seas. And for the refineries in and around Houston, I'm actually more concerned about those, especially up the ship channel, just because of the surge and the surge potential as Ike comes ashore and how long some of those refineries may be shut down after Ike has long passed. So I think out the Gulf of Mexico, I think the platforms should hold out fairly well, but as you get closer to the coast, to the Houston area, I'm not as sure. I'm not as confident on how much damage some of the refineries may sustain.
Now, for anyone who's kind of questioning the size or the strength of the storm, I'm looking at a picture, a visible satellite. This storm is, I'm guessing, 60% the size of the entire Gulf.
Yep. Yep, it takes up at least half, if not three quarters, of the Gulf of Mexico.
Now, wasn't this a small storm at one time? And distinctly, I remember Ike being compared to Hannah, and Ike being a small, you know, physical size storm.
Yep, at one time it was actually about the size of, at one point it was actually almost the size of Hurricane Charley from 2004. And what happened is when it went over Cuba, the wind field expanded because of the land interaction with Cuba caused the whole wind field to just expand into a much larger hurricane, so that now you're seeing the result of that, of a wind field, tropical storm force winds that are extending out 280 miles from the center. I mean, that's huge, to say the least.
Now, one question that's come in from xxdnradio@gmail.com, since we're running way over in time, this will make this the last question, with a reminder that Rob Lightbaum will join us again on XXDN tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Rob, the question is, the person doesn't leave a name, but he or she states that they're a longtime hurricane watcher and asked if you could speak to the whether or not the track of the storm is unusual.
In terms of what Ike has done so far, yes, because initially I seriously thought it was going to track onto the north side of Cuba. I never, ever seen a hurricane. I looked back through all the historical records. Never, ever seen a hurricane make landfall from the northeast into the Turks and Caicos Islands and then track west-southwest onto the coast of Cuba from the making a landfall from the northeast, and then turning northwest. Usually when storms do that, they're more than likely going to strike the northern Gulf Coast or northeastern Gulf Coast in terms of climatology. It's pretty rare for September hurricanes to track from the position Ike was when it crossed over Cuba to strike where it's striking tonight. So in terms of the track, yeah, it's very rare. It's a track I've never seen. It's been a very challenging hurricane to forecast, to say the least. Initially, it looked like it was going to come ashore really in South Florida, for the way it was looking when it was approaching the southeast Bahamas, because if you looked at historical records, that's what storms should do. They should turn more westward and then west-northwest and either track into the Florida Keys or into South Florida and not track southwestward and west-southwestward into Cuba and then abruptly turn westward as it reaches the south coast of Cuba, and then track west-northwest through the pretty much the entire Gulf of Mexico, the way I can track.
Truly, truly Florida was spared in this storm.
Yes, especially the Florida Keys. it was a big concern what I could have done to the Florida Keys if it had tracked along or just offshore of the north coast of Cuba. Like some of the guidance was saying at the time, could have been very, could have been a very dire situation for the Keys, especially where they're located, pretty much at sea level, and especially Group 1 going out of the Florida Keys. So, South Florida and the Florida Keys dodged a big-time silver bullet from Ike. And now, unfortunately, Galveston may end up taking that bullet that was originally targeted for the Florida Keys.
Rob, I hate to keep you any longer.
No problem.
We have one more email at xxpnradio@gmail.com that I thought you might appreciate. Lynn Lynch from Bangor, Maine has asked what your thoughts are in terms of the remnants of this storm hitting northern New England.
It looks like it's going to bring heavy rain as it gets entangled into a approaching frontal system later tomorrow into Sunday. It looks like rain for central and northern Maine starting Sunday afternoon and continuing through Sunday night to Monday. I haven't had any. As for rainfall amounts, we could end up with a couple of inches of rain at the very least as Ike interacts with that frontal system. And the biggest threat up this way in northern New England, central and northern Maine would be heavy rainfall and potential flooding concerns because it's been an excessively wet summer up here in northern New England, actually all of New England, and flooding concerns are could be a big concern, especially where down east Maine and the coast of Maine just saw 7 inches of rain from what was looked at Hanna last week. And you add another 3 to 5 inches to that, it may not be a good situation up this way, Sunday into Monday. But at this point, it looks like rain developing Sunday afternoon, continuing through Sunday night, and into the first half of Monday for central and northern Maine.
So, Rob, we're not going to have to, do a special show, rescuing you from an inland flood, right?
I hope not. Just be looking for me in a canoe with Meg, two dogs, two cats, and a fish tank full of fish.
We've at least got to get you an XXBN jacket or an XXBN t-shirt or something so that you can proudly wear the corporate sponsorship.
Give me something in bright orange so you can see me quite well as I'm paddling along in the flood. But luckily for me, where I live, we're far away from any flooding floodplains or rivers, so I'm happy for that. But other streams and rivers across Maine and the rest of northern New England, it could be another story.
Rob, for those looking or needing updates on the storm, When will the latest updates come out on Crown Weather Services, and when can they check back with you for the latest on Hurricane Ike?
Sure. Let me give you the website address. It's www.crownweather.com/Ike, I-K-E, .html. The next update with the new forecast track and everything will be out at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central. For those that are looking for TV coverage from Houston, a really good website to go to is www.maroonspoon, maroonspoon.com/ike.html. On that website, they have four TV feeds going at once, so you can watch basically all the news networks out of Houston all at once, and I've been playing that all morning. I basically have my desktop and my laptop going at the same time, so information overload to say the least, but again, 5 p.m. advisory, we'll have the next forecast track, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and I'll be back on here at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central with with the latest on Hurricane Ike, and I'll be answering any questions from listeners.
Rob, we at XXPN truly want to thank you. I was looking back in the show archives, and Rob actually was with us on August 5th with, if I remember right, Tropical Storm Edward.
Yep.
So this has clearly been a very busy month for Rob, and we so appreciate you here at XXPN, Rob.
You're very welcome. I have no problem doing it. I have no problem doing it. I like doing it, and I believe information is power, and the more information that someone can get, the better prepared they can be. And I feel honored that you guys there at XXPN allow me to be on the radio so much and get the information out to your listeners, and hopefully I'm hoping that the message gets out that Ike is a truly very dangerous hurricane and needs to be taken extremely seriously, and anybody that's still in a surge area and are under mandatory evacuation, they need to get out. I don't know how else to phrase it, but they need to get out, and probably in the next couple of hours, if not before then. Because just looking on the news feeds, the surge continues to rise in Galveston, and it's only going to get worse over the next 12 to 15 hours.
All right, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on XXPN, Rob. My thanks to you, producer Kim Kasarik in Vancouver, BC, who's put in some extra hours for XXPN this week herself. This is the Brenneman Airplane, an exclusive product of XXPN Radio. We will be back at 8 p.m. tonight with the latest from forecaster Rob Lightbound on very dangerous storm Hurricane Ike. This is XXPN, XXPN.net, Raleigh Durham, XXPNradio.com, Fargo. and closing music for this segment provided by the Naked Heroes.